Arthur did his best to escape from the Stearns' Overdon offices alone, but Muriel and Larry arrived while he was still awaiting the elevator. And in neutered silence, the three stood in front of the crafted brass doors. Muriel eventually said something about filing a motion to dismiss in the Court of Appeals, but Arthur did not have the stuff to respond or even to listen. He let them go down ahead of him when the first car arrived. A few minutes later, he reached the entry to the towers, where a fan of steel and glass swelling overhead offered protection from a sudden summer downpour. Arthur peered out, then walked into the rain, traveling more than a block before he noticed he was getting wet. He ducked into the doorway of another Center City building, and then, after a moment in which he once more fell into agitated reflection, started through the storm again. He had to get back to the office. He had to tell Pamela. It occurred to him in time that he was hungry and weary and needed to pee. Yet, as he was pelted, all he could hold in mind was Mrs. Carrier's final answer. "Your client, Mr. Gandalf." Eventually, he found himself in front of Morton's. Desperate by now, he stepped in, intending to look for the men's room, but once through the doors, he thought of Jillian, inspired by a peripheral impression of her fox-colored hair. Approaching the cosmetics counter, he saw no sign of her. He was sure it had been an illusion when she suddenly reared up before him after replacing stock in the drawers below. "Arthur!" Jillian stepped back with a long hand lying over her collar. "He did it," said Arthur. "I thought you should know."
"Who did?"
"My client. Rummy. He's guilty." Jillian emerged through a small hatchway in the counter. She took Arthur by the elbow as she might a wandering child.
"What do you mean, he's guilty?"
Arthur described the deposition. I can't figure any of it out right now," he said. I feel like my brain's been in the microwave or something. Where's the washroom?" She called to a colleague that she was taking a break, then steered him along, offering to hold onto his briefcase. Down the escalator was a coffee bar where she would wait for him. A few minutes later, hoping to calm himself, Arthur took stock in front of the mirror over the bathroom sinks. No wonder Jillian had jumped at the sight of him. He looked like a homeless person rolled out of a gutter. Outside, he briefly phoned Pamela, assuring her that the news was every bit as bad as it sounded, then rode the escalator down to the small coffee bar Morton's had recently opened in the basement. Jillian caught sight of Arthur wandering back, very much lost in himself. She had something important to say to him, and did not even wait for him to sit down. "You shouldn't give up, Arthur." His mouth drooped open as he sank to a seat. "You've done too much good work. If there's one undiscovered witness, then there may be others." He nodded, then bundled his arms against his body. He was freezing to death, he said, and he needed to get home to change. "Forgive me, Arthur, but looking at you, I wonder if you can keep your mind on the road. Am I being too much of a granny?" Probably not. I'll take a taxi."
"You'll be lucky to find one in the rain."
"Where's your car? I could drive. And I have my lunch and dinner hours coming." Jillian drove him home with the hesitance of the elderly, jiggling the wheel and braking too often, watching the shining pavement in the same fixed way she would a minefield. In the car, Arthur remained focused on today's catastrophe. "Do you feel vindicated?" he asked. "Not at all, Arthur," she said with some vehemence. "But frankly, I'd rather thought I'd heard the last from you, Arthur."
"You try to arrange everything so nobody has a chance with you. You know that, don't you?"
Jillian became aware in a moment of how tightly she was gripping the steering wheel.
"I've heard that before," she told him. "That doesn't mean my warnings aren't to good effect, Arthur. It probably justifies them."
"Right," he said. "I've heard all your caveats, but I never imagined you were faultless, Jillian. Just appealing."
"You mean sexually appealing," she said.
Arthur gestured to his old brick three-flat, and Jillian pulled the car to the curb with a sense of relief. She faced him now. "That's the root of it, isn't it? Sex. What would be so wrong if I said yes?"
You're a very attractive woman. I'm a man. I'd like to know you. I'd like you to know me. I'd love you to know me and like me so much that you'd want that to happen. You can make fun of that too, Jillian. He opened the car door, and she reached after him. I'm not making fun, Arthur. I have a point. There's a great deal you don't know, Arthur, and it frightens me. Because it's inevitable that you'll be disappointed. I'll feel like a villain, and you'll be far more dashed than you imagine. He pushed the door wider. Look, I'm sick of this conversation. I'm sick of you telling me what to want. You're entitled to say no. I've heard it before, and I haven't jumped off any bridges yet. So say no, once and for all, and let's get this over with. But stop acting like a tease. I don't want to say no, Jillian answered. The words froze her heart. Arthur, too, looked taken aback. She stared through the windshield, spotted with rain, suddenly bewildered. Arthur Raven, she thought, who could imagine? But even at that, a shiver of delight penetrated her. This was why it was worth getting up every day. Because life could still hatch surprises.